Hello and welcome to episode 530, that's 530, of Contending at the Water Cooler. I am your host, Clarence Moy, and I am joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Startled Jennifer Lawrence, we'll start with you.
What do you mean? Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me. This is actually very unsettling to me, too, and it's behind me. Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
Megan?
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on the internet at Hey Dude Meg, anywhere, really, pretty much. I'm now looking for the perfect, image for my, the perfect Jennifer Lawrence image for me now. So, hold on. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Clarence.
Well, again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. And while I do not have a Jennifer Lawrence image, I do have Montana, which is the setting of the film. Yes, because a river runs through it, although...
I thought it was Legends of the Fall.
No, they don't fish.
But I forgot about River Runs.
No, I thought it was River Runs Through It.
Yeah, River Runs Through It is a beautiful, perfect movie.
Fucking idiot.
I love River Runs Through It. I think it's such a great film. Anyway, that is where the Montana is the setting of a river runs through it. And Montana is the setting of also Die My Love, the film that we are talking about today, which is why we have Jennifer Lawrence looking the Hot Wings interview, right? Is that the Hot Wings?
No, this is just my sleep paralysis demon. It just follows me everywhere.
I'm surprised you didn't have Jennifer Lawrence falling on the stage at the Oscars.
I was going to do that.
That was my original image, and then I was like...
Because you've used it before.
Hold on.
Yeah. I'm coming up with one. I gotta... Hold on.
The other time that she fell over, when she fell over a cone on the runway.
Oh, I'm coming up with ad image. Hold on. I've got the perfect one, I think.
Okay.
I think this is a perfect one.
This is extraordinarily compelling for our audio only listeners. Oh, there we go. Let's see.
Oh, Kevin Spacey. Why is Kevin Spacey there?
Because he was there.
Oh, this
that
was
year.
Before he was canceled. Yeah. Look, I can block. There's so many canceled people in this. Ellen, I can block her. I can block Spacey. Who else is in here?
Who's that? Who is next to Julia Roberts in that picture? On the left, on her left.
Where is Julia
Roberts? Jared Leto.
No, Julia Roberts is right above Ellen.
Is it Mark Ruffalo?
Oh, Julia Roberts. I don't know.
I don't know who it is.
I think that's some random guest or maybe that's, I don't know. Anyway, Meryl, Jennifer Lawrence, of course.
Now me.
I think I blocked Kevin Spacey, in life, but I forgot he was in that photo.
He was in this iconic photo.
Ugh.
Even Brad Pitt is semi-canceled too. This is a film with people who were canceled.
So canceled that, canceled enough to where his longtime producing partner, Dee Dee Gardner, won't work with him. So if you notice some Plan B Entertainment films, traditionally they are co-productions, but now she is producing her own things without him.
Oh wow. I did not know that. This is a cursed photo.
I remember someone actually just yesterday they said to me, "Is do you remember the movie The Life of David Gale?" And I was like, "No, I barely
that movie."
I did, but then I remember reading reviews and read how bad it was. I was like, "Oh yeah, it was kind of bad." But I have not.
You had the DVD and you let me borrow it because
I have every DVD I can get my hands on. Don't say that as if I love that movie.
Thought you did.
No,
I don't think I ever saw it. Oh,
Fine. Kate Winslet's in it.
Yeah.
Has an ending.
I know who's in it. I know what it is. I just don't think I ever saw it.
I think Joey and I saw the trailer and were totally jazzed about it. We're this is gonna be the greatest thing ever made. And then it got an F from Entertainment Weekly. And we
and
were like
Roger Ebert gave it 0 stars.
Yeah.
I went back yesterday and read his review and it said it made me want to throw things at the screen, mainly Kevin Spacey and Kate Winslet.
Wow.
He said Kevin Spacey. Maybe not Kate Winslet, but Wolf. Yeah.
That's interesting.
That is fascinating.
The year 2000.
So is this photo, this photo is from the year Jennifer Lawrence won her Oscar?
No.
Mine?
No. Yeah.
That's the it's
No.
the year after.
Okay.
It's yeah.
Okay.
I'm so sorry I jumped in there.
You're like,
What do you
no.
mean?
What do you mean?
Mean?
All right. So this week we are talking about, sorry, I just had to get us back on a track here. Any track will do.
There was a track.
this week we are talking about Die My Love, the new indie film starring Jennifer Lawrence and Robert Pattinson, which focuses on a woman suffering from postpartum depression and who slowly
And
descends into
is it?
madness.
But is it? But is it? That's
I mean, that's absolutely something you can talk, we can talk about for sure.
yeah. Yeah, go ahead, continue. I
And
didn't mean to interrupt. We're all
no,
interrupting
that's
each
okay. That's okay. We'll jump right into it in just a second, but after that we'll talk about the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. So hopefully you guys are ready. So let's talk about Die My Love. Megan, you're the most recent one of us to have seen it. So tell us, what is Die My Love?
other. Well, I was thinking about what you said though, like, because I thought, is this about postpartum depression? And then I looked up an interview with Lynn Ramsey. So it is about this woman who, she lives in this house where her boyfriend's turned husband's uncle shot himself in the butt and killed himself that way. Like, I don't know if that actually happened. But they move into this house and she gets pregnant and is just kind of going crazy. And I thought, oh, is this about postpartum depression? And then I looked up an interview with Lynn Ramsey, and she said that that's like an oversimplification, that it's really about the demise of her relationship, which I do get that too. I would say, I do want to say that the first 5 minutes of it, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. Like, to paint a picture for people, it's like they're in this house that's like kind of a mess, and they're like, should we move in? And then they do it. And then, like, it turns to this like screaming sound, like a punk rock band type of thing. And then, like, a forest is on fire. And then Robert Pattinson and Jennifer Lawrence are having sex. And I'm like, okay. But I was like, what is happening here? And then it like goes back to something else. I think it takes a little time to settle in, but I was really interested in and I think Jennifer Lawrence is so good in this. She's really good in everything, but I think she is really like unhinged and free. And I really appreciated this film, even as much as I didn't necessarily love it. But I yeah, those are like my initial thoughts. But that's kind of I'm not quite sure what to make of what it is about because I do think it could be about postpartum depression because they even mentioned that in the script. But it also could be about just like this bad relationship because I think Robert Pattinson is his character is terrible. Jackson is terrible in this, and it could be about a lot of things. I have a lot of questions, but that's my initial thoughts and my description of the film.
Joey, thoughts? You like this the most of all three of us, I think.
Yeah, I think you did too.
I think I did. No, I will say I saw it like almost 2 weeks ago, so I feel like some details might be a little fuzzy. My like of the movie really has to do with Jennifer Lawrence. She's just sort of I made a joke that was like, oh, so this is like her last Catwoman audition. I like her sort of animalistic physicality in it. It's this kind of performance that is so unpredictable that I didn't know what she was going to do. I don't know what her intentions are. Sometimes I don't even know what she wants in some of the scenes. But I don't say that as a criticism necessarily. I do not like Robert Pattinson in this. There's a sort of like, I think depending on the music and how you view it, it would almost sound like he is in a comedy, even though I think there are some like really dark comic element. Like the times where he gets frustrated, he's like, "Oh gosh." I was like, "I hate every choice that you're making in this movie." But I think when I was reading a lot of other reactions, I think I'm a little bit in the minority there. I think I kind of, the more I thought about it, I wondered if it was about a mismatched couple and how society tells people that they need to do stuff like you need to get married, you need to have kids, and people just aren't ready for it. I don't think that's the whole movie, but I was thinking about that, today when I was thinking about what I wanted to say about the movie. But it's kind of like he feels like a child. She obviously loves her kid. There's a lot of unhappiness brewing here. I was really, my favorite parts of the movie, I think, deal with Jennifer Lawrence talking to Sissy Spacek. I feel like Sissy Spacek probably has an opinion about what Jennifer Lawrence's character is doing in terms of being in a relationship, and being a mother. And I feel like Sissy Spacek doesn't know whether she should give Jennifer Lawrence advice or not. I think, Sissy Spacek at Twilight cackling her head off with a shotgun in the middle of nowhere. I have to figure out how to make that a Halloween costume for next year, I guess. But
Why don't you
like,
just do that every day? Just
I
make that a
d yeah,
Thursday.
I don't think I want to run around at night with a gun and cackle like
You could
I
just cackle at night.
want. So I don't know. I feel like it's a movie that I don't necessarily know in retrospect if I like it, but I appreciate the sort of bold choices that it's making, and I would prefer to watch something like this over something that plays it a lot safer. I don't know. I have this image of Jennifer Lawrence in her, I guess, wedding dress. Like the image that has sort of become the poster of her crawling around and rolling her head and acting like an animal, that I was just like, I could watch her do that for 2.5 hours. I don't know. She's so magnetic to me, and I love seeing her and stuff. Like after I watched that movie, I'm sorry, and I'll be down in a second, but I went back and just like watched clips of her and like interviews and everything. I forgot how much I just like really love her as a performer. And I think she wants to like stretch herself in terms of doing more adult things. I would be really interested to see how this is perceived over time. All right, I'm done talking.
No, I agree. Very quickly, I agree with what you said. Like everything that you said, I totally get that. I really liked her. I also like the way she just kind of hangs her body over like a petulant child. But
I have to send you guys, by the way, my friend who lives in the Philippines. The poster for this movie in the Philippines makes it look like a romantic comedy.
I heard that.
So I'll send it to you. I'll send it in the chat. Clarence.
So, Clarence.
Number one, this is a movie that I never want to see again because it is intensely unpleasant to watch. And I think that's where a lot of the CinemaScore reactions, I think people are refusing to engage with it on any kind of other level other than just simply story or plot. And it's very light on that, right? This is a character study. This is a character study about a woman who is losing her mind, whether it's postpartum depression, whether she was, I would argue she was probably crazy, well, not crazy, but she was losing it to begin with. And then her husband, played by Robert Pattinson, makes the what we now know is a monumentally horrible decision by taking her out of New York City and putting her in the middle of nowhere in Montana. And I know that this is not the story that they wanted to tell, but I wanted a little bit more backstory about them. Like, how did they meet? These two people have, I felt like these two characters have nothing in common. I felt like they are a bad match from the very beginning, and they continue to make bad choices after bad choices throughout the entire film. And I wanted to know what their life was like in New York City a little bit more before just plopping them down in this story in Montana. I do think the film gets better as it goes along. Ironically, I feel like the beginning, orienting the situation, getting the pieces put together is a bit choppy, but I think it becomes more lyrical as she loses her grip on sanity, more toward the end of the film. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I'll just say it's a downward progression for Jennifer Lawrence's sanity. I think the biggest problem that I have with this film is that it's essentially a two-hander. Yes, Sissy Spacek, Nick Nolte, Lakeith Stanfield, I guess technically is in the film, although he is.
Yeah, I have questions about that character.
Yeah,
Is
we
he
can
real?
put a pin in that one for a second, but
Okay. It real?
I don't think he's real. No, I think he's a
Yeah.
complete manifestation of her. I think there's a little, well, anyway, let's put a pin in that one for a second.
Yeah,
I want to
put a
just finish
pin.
my original thought, which was
Sorry, sorry, sorry.
no, it's okay. I think Jennifer Lawrence and Robert Pattinson don't know who these people are. I feel like they have been costumed in weird ways to make them feel rural, or to make them feel like ordinary, normal people, and they are not, they don't fit these roles at all. Like, I just don't buy Robert Pattinson in this part. I don't buy him as a, I don't know what he does. I think he's a guitar, he plays, he's a musician of some sort,
Yeah.
and she's supposed to be a writer, but neither one of them really do that. And it just, I feel like Sissy Spacek is so perfectly oriented because she knows how to play normal people. She knows how to play this character. And I think that's why this, the best scenes in the film are between Jennifer Lawrence and Sissy Spacek. But I just, it, to me, it, you know, it doesn't, I mean, they're doing everything they can, but it doesn't work because they don't understand who these people are. They don't understand how to play normal people.
That's interesting. That's
I mean,
very
I think she's good because she's always good when she's at a 12. Like, that's where Jennifer Lawrence lives. That's where she gives her
yeah.
best. Everything is she's big. She's not good at subtle moments. Maybe she's trying to learn more about that. There is a physicality to her performance that I don't necessarily think we've seen before, but she's always up here in terms of her acting range. And when she, she's very comfortable there, but I just don't think that there's some nuance here that I think this part needed, and I don't think she's delivering it.
Well, I was confused at first, like what time period this was, because a lot of their outfits looked like older, but it's modern day.
I think it's just Montana.
Maybe, but I'm also like, that's a
But they
disservice to
don't have.
Montana people. I don't,
Yeah, they don't have
yeah,
cell
like,
phones. They don't. I mean,
yeah, it's
it does
just,
seem out of time. They don't have
yeah.
TV. Well, do they have a TV? I don't
I
know.
think they did, and she was watching
But
something
the truck
weird,
is
I think.
brand new. The truck is
Yes, the truck was
the
brand new.
yeah.
Yeah. It seemed a little bit like is it Badlands, that movie? I've never seen it. Is that like the one with Sissy
Sissy Spacek
Spacek?
and
It seems kind of like that. Like weird. Like they're just hanging out on the porch and she's like crawling with a knife. It's just like there's weird stuff going on that I'm like, what universe does this take place in? Like, what is happening? I think you're right, though, that maybe like the disconnect between the acting, like, and the perform, because I do think she gives a good performance, but maybe she doesn't understand this character, and it's kind of, it almost feels like an exercise to me more than a film. Like, let's put these characters, like, let's just see what they do, and like here, you're gonna crawl like a cat. How would your character as a cat move, like stuff like that?
It's a
I
method
think.
acting exercise.
Yeah.
I kind of disagree with the both of you about her not knowing who the character is. I think she said that she liked this part because I could be wrong. I would have to find it, but I thought that she said She identified with the part after she's had kids. I think the connection between the obvious disconnect between her character and Robert Pattinson's character is there. Like, I think it's a mixture of postpartum and like this relationship that is just really not working
Yeah.
at all. And I think that I was just thinking, I was like, I don't know. I feel like now that you mentioned the players, a lot of her stuff that she's had, Silver Linings, even something like Don't Look Up, she is asked to be a lot bigger and I won't say louder, but I mean like she's I don't know.
She's
Some of her earlier stuff, she's gotten to do a lot more subtle stuff, like,
Winter's Bone is
Winter's
probably the
Bone.
most subtle stuff I've ever
Winter's
done.
Bone or like The Burning Plain, which I think I'm the only person who saw that.
Didn't see
Like
that.
not out of the three of us, I mean in the world. Like in a theater. But yeah, maybe she just hasn't had I think the highs for her are really big, but I don't know. I think the kind of like really sad introspective stuff is equally as compelling. So yes, I am the one who likes it the most. Likes it.
And I do think, I mean, there's a message there that that's that she's suffering from something, whether it's postpartum depression or she's suffering from some sort of mental illness,
Boredom.
boredom, yeah, extreme boredom, and everybody talks about it, but nobody does anything about it. And that's sort of one of the themes of the film is that the community recognizes it, but they don't support her necessarily, give her the support that she needs, or engage with her in a way that kind of helps her. But that point is repeated over and over and over and over again throughout the film. Let's talk about Lakeith Stanfield. So I do think he's a made-up character. I think he is a figment of her imagination. I don't think that this is a motorcyclist who is riding around in the middle of the night and she just happens to bump into in a barn. And then, yeah, that it just, I mean, it's her element of freedom, I think, is what she would like, the escapism that she wants. And it's, did you guys, when you watched the film and you saw, that and then the black horse,
Oh.
it's a weird juxtaposition to be making. Where both elements of freedom, or like her, because she's looking longingly at the horse very early in the film when it goes runs off and across the field, and
Yeah.
immediately like, okay, the horse represents her desire to break free from the situation. But then there's also the Lakeith Stanfield piece, and that just it just that doesn't fit well necessarily for me.
Do you think that she like now I the scene that confused me about Lakeith Stanfield's character is when she sees him with his like wife and child at the grocery store. Do you think she just saw somebody was like shot like made like like shooter shot she shot made her shot at him and like he rejected her like I like she was unhinged doing that going up to him. Like I don't know if they knew each other ahead of time with that scene. But I
Was
wonder if she just took that and fantasized about him after that.
I thought she fantasized about walking over there and talking to somebody else. I don't think she ever actually got out of that car. That's the way I
Oh,
interpreted it.
really?
Yeah. Because you
Oh, I
don't ever
thought she did
actually
actually.
see her walking back to the vehicle. She talks to him and the wife's like is dealing with the kid and he's looking panicked, and then all of a sudden she's back in the car and Robert Pattinson is walking up. So I just
Oh,
interpreted that she never, that was just a whole
maybe.
fantasy sequence. As
Oh, wow. I never thought of that. Yeah.
I sort of interpreted it a little differently. I thought that I thought in the scene where she approaches him in the parking lot that the way that his face looked, I thought he recognized her. And I thought everything else is a fantasy. So maybe I thought maybe this, I don't know if I've settled this on this or not, but I was just like, maybe she has talked to him before, and the recognition that I thought I saw was the fact was like, oh, who is this woman? She's talking to me again, and now she's talking to me in front of my kids. But I don't think that the whole fantasy sort of sex element is there. I think that is complete fantasy.
Yeah, I did think that too.
I don't think the film ever is very clear as to what the answer is there. Or I mean, I don't think that they give you too many clues to point you in the right direction. And
I didn't realize he was in it too. When he showed up, I was like, Lakeith Stanfield? Like, what? Like, yeah.
But
I love him.
ultimately I respect the film. I mean, I think it travels a little bit of this. I mean, it's not exactly like it, but it does dabble in some of the same themes as another Lynn Ramsey film. We Need to Talk About Kevin, where that one is a little bit more plot driven, which I think I definitely liked that film better. I think Tilda Swinton knows how to embody that character a bit more comfortably than Jennifer Lawrence.
I almost just watched that on a whim the other day, which is
It's
like really a really
I've
messed up
never seen
choice
it.
on my part. Oh my God,
It's
it's
such a,
unsettling.
yeah, it's a great unsettling film. It's a really,
That's probably why I
it's,
haven't seen it.
yeah, it's far
It's
more
on
disturbing
Peacock.
than this, I would say. Wouldn't you agree, Joey?
I think it's tighter and it has a much clearer, I don't want to say point of view, but it has a clear sort of. The plot of that movie is very simple. Like, this is what the plot of the movie is. This is who this woman is. The frustration and confusion is really sort of crazy and whatever, but it's a, yeah, I'm sorry. Long answer short. Yes, it is.
It's almost like if Jennifer Lawrence's character from Die My Love had, raised that kid. Of course, and that's the thing that I'd struggle with too. She talks about how much she loves her child, and she is never a danger to her child, except for when she
She
they
does
get in the
leave
car
the
and they drive
child.
around and they left him in the house all by himself. But she doesn't physically harm him, even though she harms herself at many times, many opportunities. So, but it, go ahead.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was
I
just
was
going to say,
you're
We Need
no,
to
go
Talk About
ahead, go ahead.
Kevin is like if Jennifer Lawrence's character grows up and her child becomes a teenager. That's kind of.
That's really interesting because I was thinking, I told Joey this, that I felt like Die, My Love is like the movie Mother that she was in from the mother's point of view in some ways. Like this surrealist type weird, like what is happening? Is this real? What does this represent type of thing. I felt like I was watching Mother again in sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that too. I don't know. It just it was a tough sit. And I think part of that is just the unpleasantness of the subject matter. I do respect the filmmaking. I don't think it's a great film. I think it, Lynn Ramsey's an incredibly interesting director. I will always watch one of her movies, but I don't think this is her strongest film.
I don't know
Other
if you heard my
thoughts?
dog.
Your dog has opinions.
Yeah, he's like, "Woof." Like I said, I appreciate this film. I don't know if it's something maybe it's something that will age better with, because I have been thinking about it. I like the cinematography a lot, the way it like kind of makes it look like Twilight, when it was like kind of
Oh
bluish.
my God.
You know what I'm talking about?
I
Not
do,
like Twilight,
unfortunately.
not like the Twilight the movie, but Twilight
Oh, that's
like.
what I thought you meant. I was like,
No,
oh, these are.
I meant like Twilight time. My God. But anyway, I liked the way it was like blue, and the song choices were interesting. Like it's something that I think is weird, and like I just didn't quite get it. But maybe it's something that like on a rewatch that I would get more out of. But I don't even understand the ending either, whether that was real or not.
I do think that ending is real.
You think the ending is real?
Although I don't, I take that back because I don't remember. So we're not going to give any spoilers away, but I don't remember her grabbing the book out of the truck. Like that book just seems to materialize. I don't know. I don't know. Joey?
I thought the ending was real. I think the ending is Go with me here. What if, and this is a completely random theory that I haven't put any backing into or any real thought, what if the ending of the movie is like the book that she's writing that we never see her writing? I don't know. I think the ending is real. I think if the ending wasn't necessary, if the ending was sort of a manifestation or a hallucination, I think it would be a little bit more of a cop out. I would think that I would prefer, my personal preference is that the ending is real.
Actually, as I'm thinking about it, I do think it's real because I think if it weren't real, Robert Pattinson wouldn't be there. Like
Hence
he's
Lily
seeing it,
smoking a
he's
cigarette. He's
watching
like,
her do what she does, and I think if it weren't real, he would not be engaged in the fantasy.
Interesting.
I did read somewhere that Lynn Ramsey said in one of the original, I think this is different than the book. But I think the ending from the movie is different than the book, but I think she said there was a version of the movie. I don't know if it was filmed or it was just in the script where you see b Jennifer Lawrence saving him from the fire.
Spoilers.
Well, we don't
We've been
say
talking about
what.
a fire this whole time.
We didn't say it
Well, it's
don't care.
anyway, final thoughts. Jennifer Lawrence, does she get in for Best Actress?
No,
No.
she's
I don't think so
very
either.
good.
I think she will get a Golden Globe nomination, and everyone will be like, "What?
Yeah,
What does it
like,
mean?"
yeah, maybe a SAG nomination or something weird like that too.
I don't know about SAG. They go, I don't know.
The
If she
old
gets.
Golden Globes would totally nominate her because she's Jennifer Lawrence, but probably not now. That drama actress
Yeah.
category is pretty stacked, I think.
That's true.
All right. Let's jump to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Joey, gee, what are you looking forward to this
What
week?
could I be looking forward to this week? I am seeing Wicked for Good on Thursday at 2:30 in the afternoon. And then that so we get to see Wicked for Good, which I'm ready to fight somebody and I haven't even seen this movie yet. And so that'll be over probably around 5:30, and then I have about 2.5 hours, and then Jason and I are gonna go see the Jinx and Dela holiday special. It is finally coming to Columbus. It has never been to Columbus before. And then we are also seeing a drag queen Christmas tour on Friday. And then on Saturday, we are seeing the national tour of Some Like It Hot. So a lot of cross-dressing live theater in my life this week. I've been getting into The Beast in Me. Again, Claire Danes' chin quiver is riveting in it. I have yet to finish this last season of Only Murders in the Building. I'm about four episodes in. I know nothing about who anybody is. It feels like a more subdued season. And then we're still watching Christmas movies. Help. Help me. We've watched, I think, four today, including specials and whatnot. We have two of four Christmas trees are up. The gay tree is up with the new gay star. Yeah, so that's all.
Excellent. Megan, you know, Joey, you have a month of Christmas movies left.
No,
And
because I want to
probably
get through them.
longer.
No, you shut your whore mouth because. Because what I'm doing is I'm trying to get them cranking through them to get them over with. So then, because last year I felt really bad because last year Jason surprised, we watched a shit ton of Christmas movies. I barely got to watch any of the Oscar movies like before the end of the year. And then Jason surprised me. How, oh my God, I'm complaining. Jason surprised me with a trip to New York during the time that I wanted to watch screeners.
All
And
right, yes.
I felt so bad that I was like, I want to watch movies, but he bought me tickets to like four Broadway shows for my birthday. So I'm a complaining bitch. So this year he's just like, "Hey, what do you want to do for Christmas?" I'm like, "Stay at home, bait low key. At home. Do you want to watch your eighth Christmas movie of the day?" Yeah.
Megan.
So I'm seeing The Secret Agent tomorrow at the Three Rivers Film Festival, which I'm excited about. I need to start All Her Fault because I've heard lots of good things about it and that it's very twisty and fun. So that's something that I would like
I've
to see.
seen one. It's good so far.
I'm listening to Robin's Dopamine because I'm tripping on our chemistry. And that's about it for this week.
I am also looking forward to Wicked for Good. I see it Tuesday night at a screening. And then on the TV front, catching up to it, Welcome to Derry. Did you both did well, no, you're not caught up on it, Megan, but Joey, did you watch last week's episode?
No, because we watched Miracle on 34th Street today.
Oh, okay.
Silly Clarence.
Well, last week, I mean, the one from last Sunday. You've had a week to watch
No,
it.
I heard people
Okay.
were more divided on that episode.
Yes. I'm starting to see the seams popping a little bit. And there was a I won't spoil anything, but there was a visual effects heavy sequence that I thought reminded me of that old Michael J. Fox movie, The Frighteners, from like the early
Oh,
90s.
fuck. Oh,
Yeah.
my God. I remember that poster. That
Yeah,
was a
with the
Peter
fate.
Jackson
Oh,
movie. That was a
it was
Peter
a Peter
Jackson movie.
Jackson. Yep,
That was Peter
that's right.
Jackson?
That
Yes, it was
was
Peter Jackson. I
yes.
did not know that.
So we'll see. Didn't love this episode, but we'll talk about that later. Also,
Okay.
anytime the Food Network has some sort of holiday baking championship show, or the Harry Potter Wizards of Baking, or Baking Wars, or Secret Wars, or something, I don't know. I'm watching all of it. Because it's great background noise. And then I'm still in Hamnet, reading Hamnet, the book. All right.
Oh, I did start
Are
reading Hamlet's
you
book. I can't remember what it is. Hold on.
hating the how I don't, okay, every time I watch an episode of Holiday Baking Championship, like I go on Twitter and people hate all of the changes. Like they're not huge changes and they can't for Holiday Baking Championship. They're not going to be able to have teams the whole time. Like they're going to have to
No,
stop.
because the naughty team is deploy
Getting
imploding.
their asses handed to them. Basically, it's a whole season where the Food Network was like, "Oh, you think you're bad? This is what's going to happen to you. You're not going to be your baked goods will be shit."
Well, and the format
And that
doesn't bother
evil
me.
gay guy with the mustache.
Yeah, I saw him on another show. He was evil and gay on the other one too.
So gay.
He no the format of the show doesn't bother me. What is bothering me is that the judging is very inconsistent with the judging of the Halloween Baking Championship. Sorry, Megan, we're gonna nerd out on baking reality shows here for a
I wish
second.
I had those
Carla
glasses that Homer Simpson has where you can just put them on
Hahn.
and fall asleep.
But like there these early in this competition, there are people who are delivering very shoddily made confections, and they're getting praised for how they look. And I'm like, if that had been on Halloween, you would have gotten
Oh, yeah.
slaughtered. Like they're
Yeah.
way too lenient on some of the stuff. But anyway.
Yeah, we'll see them come out and they'll be like, Jason and I will be like, "Oh boy, that looks like crap." And they're like,
Yeah.
"This is amazing." And we're like,
Yes.
"Oh, okay. I guess we don't know. I guess
Like,
Jason and I are dumb and we don't know how, that shit works."
so yes, there's Megan right there.
Just changing that. God damn it, you took my I'm changing it anyway.
there's a for example, there's a woman who in this last episode had was intending to make a roll, and she had overbaked the cake, and she knew if she rolled it was gonna break up, it would split, and so she cut it in thirds, and she put like a layer of cake and then her grapefruit jam or grapefruit whatever her icing and then another layer of cake. And by the time she was done with it and plotted some trees and some chocolate on top of it, it looked like Jabba the Hutt. Like it was just horrible. But they were like, taste good. Like,
I
anyway.
wonder though, like if I'm sorry, just one last thing before I say that. Like the anytime that something goes wrong and they have to pivot and they have to pivot, like does production be is production like we're gonna rat you out if you try to say that this was your intention? And they were like, oh, was this like I don't know. I just
I
think
don't
it's
know.
funny.
I mean, their whole thing is filmed, I assume. So,
I miss Carla
anyway.
Hall too. I love her.
But
I like
she's
the new
not on
judge
this one.
too. No, she's on. I think maybe they filmed
She's
that
on
and Harry
Wizards.
Potter at the same
Yeah.
time.
Yeah.
But I just like her on. I just miss her saying, "Dude." I miss that. That's all.
All right. So does that cover it?
Yeah.
Let's get the hell out of here. So we are the three M's, the contending co-founders, Clarence Boy, Joey Moser, and Megan McLaughlin, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on your favorite podcast app, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or here on YouTube. Click like and subscribe, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.